Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hey friends, thank you so much for tuning in. God bless you. We appreciate you praying for the podcast and for all the technical issues that we have. It's been going great. Thanks to God, of course, and your prayers and your sharing the podcast. It's getting out there. So today we're going to not exactly keep it local because we are fans of Wisconsin Family Council and Wisconsin Family Action. They do great work, as a lot of states have these organizations that really help expose what's going on in their government, state governments, and especially the battles for life in the womb and family, protecting marriage, family. So we're blessed to have Daniel Degner with us today, and he's in studio. So he was just at Lambeau Field, and he was in the area. He was able to come by and do a podcast. So Daniel, welcome to Worldview Matters.
Yeah, thanks for having me, David. And thanks for what you're doing to really promote these freedom issues here in our country.
Exactly, especially religious freedom. So Daniel, tell us about your position, your relatively new position with Wisconsin mm-hmm. Family Action, and that you started off with Wisconsin Family Council, correct?
Yeah, so Wisconsin Family Action, Wisconsin Family Council were sister organizations. And so my previous roles, I was our Church Ambassador Network Director, so I connected pastors to elected officials to advance God's kingdom, to minister to them as a person, as a shepherd, and as a partner. We want elected officials to see who they are in Christ, but also to see the church as a primary resource. I currently serve as the president of Wisconsin Family Action and Wisconsin Family Council now. I took that role last June. I became the interim, and then in September, filled into more of a long-term role. And as our organization, our mission is to advance Judeo-Christian values and principles that strengthen, preserve, and promote marriage, family, life, and religious liberty in the Badger State.
Well, you're coming up on your one-year anniversary, huh? Isn't that great?
Yeah, it's been an exciting year, but a lot. And I'm sure that your viewers are aware of Jelaine Appling, our president emeritus, and giant shoes to fill.
Yes, exactly. And she worked and worked and worked. And that's just a challenge right there, keeping up with just all the time she put in, and just some amazing progress, though, and effectiveness in this state. And also, you know, not every state has a family council. Wisconsin is blessed to have one, I think Illinois, but not every state does. So we are really blessed to have you guys right here and the work that you do.
Yeah, thank you.
So let's give the website. It's wifamilyaction.org. wifamilyaction.org. And the Wisconsin Family Council website is
wifamilycouncil.org. And that's council, not like counseling, but council as in like a council of elders.
C-O-N-C-I-L. C-O-U-N-C-I-L. Yep. All right. So a lot of issues to talk about. First of all, one of them that you sent me, there's an amendment in Wisconsin to prohibit government closure of places of worship during emergencies. It's an amendment, 2026, it says on here. But friends, remember what happened during COVID? Do you remember how the government told the churches to shut down, shut your doors, close, you can't worship, right? So is that part of the reason they're trying to get this passed?
Yeah, absolutely. We saw in 2020 that our really radical liberal governor, Tony Evers, what he wanted to do is he wanted to shut churches down and not allow us to practice our religious liberty. And even just a town south where we're recording right now in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, they even tried to do a drive-in church service, and the police were called, and they came and said, wait a second, nope, you can't do this. And thankfully, through our work and some other of our legal friends, we were able to at least allow and get a letter from the governor to allow them to do these drive-in services. But really, that should never have been needed in the first place. And we need to make sure in Wisconsin, not just for now, but for the future of our entire history, that we protect churches, that they will never be shut down again.
Yeah, this is, you know, I was going to say it's a federal issue, but it's also the states have to deal with this, because it's going to be state by state, because we saw how blue state governors in particular, and unfortunately at that time we were a blue state, can't say we're a red state now exactly, but you know, the election did swing that way last November. So there are so many other cases. Just one of them I want to mention. I just got a newsletter from the Wisconsin Family Action. You guys can sign up for the newsletter on the website. There is a Wisconsin congressman. His name is Glenn Grothman. He's supporting marriage. And I'm thinking, okay, of course we support, if you're Republican, generally you support marriage. But it says, Student Loan Marriage Penalty Elimination Act. That's what we're talking about. It's not just marriage, but it's Student Loan Marriage Penalty Elimination Act. And it would remove one of many anti-marriage provisions of current federal law and regulation by amending the tax code to ensure student loan interest is a tax deductible item for both husbands and wives. Tell us a little, anything else about this?
Yeah, so basically what Congressman Grothman's trying to do here with this bill is, and this happens a lot at the state level as well as the federal level, mm-hmm. is we'll have it where we allow for singles that are filing taxes to get a tax benefit, but then we don't have that necessarily that tax benefit for married couples. And really, we appreciate what the congressman is trying to do. And we're also encouraging state legislators to get rid of some of our marriage penalty tax credit issues here in Wisconsin to make sure that we're incentivizing marriage, especially we look at all of our population issues. We look at our marriage and family issues around the state. Yeah. We really need to do everything we possibly can to make sure our tax structures really incentivize family as well as marriage.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. There should not be marriage penalties or taxes. Yeah, we need to bless families. By the way, this proposal has been endorsed by Family Research Council. And so that's another good thing. So one other thing that came up here, and we're going to be jumping around a lot. In fact, let me go back to my notes here. Let's talk about what the Wisconsin State Supreme Court will be ruling on, and that would be the pre-Roe abortion ban, and that's before June 30. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so in Wisconsin, we have Statute 94004, and you may hear in the media, we'll talk about Wisconsin has this 1849 abortion ban, and I think that's really foolish when we say those things, because we don't talk about, you know, in Wisconsin, there's an 1849 murder ban.
Yeah.
Or in Wisconsin, there's an 1849 ban against theft. Well,
exactly.
We just say, well, it's the law because the legislature passed it. And mm-hmm. since 1849, the legislature hasn't seen a need to overturn that law. And so basically what the 94004 statute says is it says that abortion is not legal except for in the case of the life of the mother, where two different doctors have to sign off. And we're very fortunate. We praise God that after the Dobbs decision overturned Roe and brought abortion back to the states, that was the law in Wisconsin. We were able to protect the unborn, save the unborn. And there was a report that found that many babies were born in Wisconsin as a result of this, and they were protected from being slaughtered in the womb.
So let me just do this real quick. Let me flip over to an article, and I want to quote this. This is over at The Federalist. It says, every pro-life law... Listen, friends, because the left lies about this. Democrats lie about this. Every pro-life law, without exception, contains provisions that allow for emergency medical intervention to save a mother's life. I said that slowly so you could understand. This is true. Over at the Federalist, there's an article called Don't Blame Pro-Lifers for Medical Malpractice or Risky Abortion Drugs. Can you talk to us a little bit more about this? Because when you said that, you're going, okay, yeah, there's a provision to, you know, save the mother's life. Of course. But every pro-life law has that provision, right?
Yeah, everyone does. And what I would even argue beyond that, and what we argue as an organization, is there's really never a need medically to save the life of a mother by aborting a child. What we would say is that it's terrible, it's tragic, it's sad when someone loses a child naturally through a miscarriage or an ectopic pregnancy or a stillbirth or those sort of things. But we do everything we can to make sure we're not intentionally killing that child. And I'll just use my own story as an example.
Yes, please share that.
When 94004 was in effect, remember, abortion is illegal in basically every circumstance except the save the life of the mother with two doctors signing off. My wife had an ectopic pregnancy. And so if you were watching the TV ads in Wisconsin over the last year or so with these elections, they would say, oh, these conservative Republicans are trying to murder women that are having miscarriages and ectopic pregnancies. But it's the furthest from the truth. When my wife, and it was unfortunate, we were very sad that we lost our child. We call that baby our child because we know at the moment of conception, God uniquely created that child.
Yes.
But with it, with the baby dying through ectopic pregnancy in the fallopian tubes, that baby had already passed away. And so it was okay because that baby had already passed away. Same thing with the miscarriage, to remove that child because the child's no longer living. And we would argue in a circumstance where the baby is still alive and needs to be removed for medical reasons, like a C-section, those sort of things. We can always have a C-section to try to save the baby. And if the baby passes away, it's unfortunate. It's terrible. But it's God allowing that baby to pass away naturally instead of us actively intervening ourselves to kill the child.
My goodness. We had Seth Gruber on the podcast recently, and man, I'll tell you, he comes with both barrels loaded. And we talked about that. We talked about some of these lies that the media will put out there. And I don't even want to say half truths, but the talking points of the left when it comes to using them as a battering ram against the pro-life community or those of us who believe that life begins at conception and every pregnancy is a growing, developing human life in a mother's womb. And yet so many states, Daniel, have laws that will legalize, now not God's law, not, you know, but they will legalize abortion up until throughout the ninth month. And so we're struggling with the fact that we've been playing political ping pong. I just want to get your response to this and share any insights that you'd like. A lot of us are frustrated with the back and forth with the pro-life community, with legislation and everything like that, with what Republicans campaign on, and then they say they're going to do. They get into the Washington, they don't follow through, right? But we're just compromising if we don't push to end abortion and save every baby.
Yeah, and how I would argue it too, and I'm a huge Packer fan, owner, season ticket holder, just at Lambeau. And every state's different right now, post-Dobbs. And so I would try to figure out, where are we on the field? And so like in Wisconsin, under 940.04, I'd say we're at the opponent's 1 yard line. We're about to score a touchdown. We have so much ground that we have. And then there's other states, like you mentioned, that they might be at their own 1 yard line because abortion is legal through the moment of birth. And they're allowing for even taxpayer funded abortion in some of those states. Yep. And really what we need to be focused on is, how do we move the ball forward closer to the end zone, closer towards a touchdown? In every state, that's going to look different. And just a real world example here in Wisconsin, the last legislative session, there was an argument to allow for abortion for 14 or through 14 weeks of pregnancy. So through 3.5 months of that baby being developed. And our argument organizationally was, we have the ball at the 1 yard line. Why would we retreat all the way back to the 50 yard line? We need to continue to move forward and not backwards. And so we oppose that. But if the Supreme Court, like we're expecting by June 30th, will probably find, and they'll probably create some sort of a loophole to get rid of our 940.04 statute that protects many of the unborn. And they'll come back and say that, oh, well, there's a 940.04 is unconstitutional. They'll make something up and they'll probably end up having abortion legal around the 20 week mark. Well, if that's the case, our goal as an organization is to do the best we can to move the ball forward and save as many lives at that point.
So meanwhile, you're talking about, okay, we may be at the 1 yard line here. Our radical Democrat governor, Tony Evers, if anything would come across his desk, he's not going to sign it if it's a measure protecting life. In fact, you sent me this, Daniel. Democrats in Wisconsin introduced a bill. Now, here's the opposition. To legalize abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy. There we go. And you say every Democrat signed on as a co-sponsor, except for one. So there's one that's less radical and less demonic than all the others. But so there's this battle in Wisconsin. What else you would like to share about that?
Yeah, well, and I think this should be a warning cry to any of the viewers here in Wisconsin, but even nationally, you should be looking at what's happening on in your state. So I speak at events all over Wisconsin, and I'll have people that come up to me and say, Dan, isn't it so great that President Trump's in office? Because now we have the pro-life issue solved.
Oh, you're kidding me.
We don't have to worry about the gender
issue. Do people really say that?
Oh, every time I speak at an event, someone comes up to me and says that. And I look at it and I'm like, Yes, I'm glad that President Trump's in office. I'm glad that we have these policies, but they only last for 4 years at a time unless we ratify them in our state law. And so it's so important for us to make a difference, but especially in Wisconsin, this is what's scary is right now the state Senate has an 18 Republican majority to 15 Democrat minority, but it is very likely that that legislature in the Senate will flip in the next election cycle, but especially the assembly's up for grabs too. So what really Democrats are highlighting here is that if they take over the chamber, they're going to try to ratify through state law to have abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy.
That's right. And let's be honest, most Democrats, that's a platform. That's on their platform in most states, would be pushing or are pushing for the same thing if they didn't make that successful already. Anyway, we got to move on. We got to take a brief pause. We are talking about the very important issue, friends, of life in the womb, but there's so many other family-related issues. I think before the podcast, I don't remember who we were talking to about this, but talking about how God set up his creative order, how it starts with God is the creator of all things, creation, then life, then marriage, then family, then civil government. But anyway, when we come back from our brief break here, we're going to talk about a study that showed chemical abortions, which the media barely tells the truth about. Chemical abortions now account for 2/3 of the abortions, and they are 22 times more likely to cause sepsis, hemorrhaging, and other serious adverse effects than the FDA label suggests. And there's many more studies coming out on this. We'll be right back on Worldview Matters.
Introducing Patriot Mobile, the wireless carrier that stands with you. We are committed to supporting the values that make our nation great. With affordable plans and reliable nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless service. It's a call to action for those who believe in the American dream.
Get free activation now with promo code David. Hey friends, right now Freedom Project Academy is enrolling students for this fall with live, anytime, and homeschool courses for pre-kindergarten through the 12th grade. And to celebrate 15 years of academic excellence, we are offering 15% off a discount on all courses. So all you need to do is visit freedomforschool.com. That's freedom, F-O-R, school.com. Use the code David15 to save 15%. That's David15 to save 15% on all courses at Freedom Project Academy. Dan Degner, Wisconsin Family Action President, our guest today. Before we talk about this with the chemical abortions, you mentioned something about the guy they kicked, the Democrats kicked him out for wanting to protect women. Explain what happened.
Yeah. So basically, again, there's only one Democrat who didn't sign on this very radical abortion through all 9 months bill.
Only one.
And so
troublemaker.
Yeah. So his background too. So he's a bivocational pastor in the city of Milwaukee. And so earlier in the session, there was a vote to protect women's sports, to say, at the most basic essence, biological men do not belong in sports with biological females. And so he voted the way that any really sane person would vote and said, yeah, absolutely, we should not allow for biological men and women's sports. And then right after that, of course, the Democrats called for an immediate recess for him. They met with him in a back room and he was sent home for the rest of the day. And so when we hear on how the right is intolerant and the right is unwilling to be able to hear other views and opinions, look at what Democrats are actually doing of saying, no, unless you support this radical gender ideology, unless you support abortion through 9 months, we won't even allow you to have a voice and a vote to represent the people that elected you.
Wow. It's just not surprising. He didn't toe the party line, right?
No.
He didn't play in the sandbox with all the... By the way, this is off topic slightly. Churches are very important. But churches have to uphold biblical values, meaning they've got to know what the Bible teaches. They've got to be preaching it from the pulpit. They've got to not only preach the gospel, but stand against evil. Mm-hmm. If you're if you're a Democrat pastor, to me, that's an oxymoron. It doesn't make sense. The Democrat platform is demonic. It goes against what the Bible teaches. So I don't understand that. That's, to me, there's a disconnect there. Do you want to speak to that before we move on? You're looking like, that's interesting.
Yeah, well, and those are the sort of things that I would have issues with myself. We have really good relationships with many legislators in Wisconsin. There was a legislator who had a ministry background that he's no longer in the legislature, but he once told me, he said, Dan, I'm pro-life, but I have to vote pro-choice. I have to vote for abortion because if I don't, the Democrats will kick me out of my caucus and they'll primary me. And again, you and I, we would say, well, that's still sin. It's still sin to vote for things that promote evil, but somehow they're able to justify it. But that would be my argument with them is you still cannot sin and violate God's laws and commands.
Yeah, there's scriptures about the approving of evil. And there's another issue that, you know, we don't want to get into right now, but about just remaining silent in the face of evil. Famous Dietrich Bonhoeffer quote, right? Yeah. Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. Mm-hmm. He said, God will not hold us guiltless if we do not speak up and protect the unborn, those that are vulnerable. So back to this chemical abortions issue and a lot of the studies that are coming out that we're hearing about through a few conservative outlets, not the mainstream media, not the so-called journalists and the big networks, they're not talking about this, how chemical abortions are causing sepsis, hemorrhaging, other adverse effects, but the FDA label claims it's safe. Can you help us break this down and understand?
Yeah, and I'll give just a few examples here, but I met with the person who developed this study, Ryan Anderson, and one of the things that really came out of this is the FDA claims that just 0.5% of people that are of women that will take these abortion drugs will have these severe adverse effects. And really, it's something that I've always struggled to believe. I used to serve on the board of directors of a pregnancy help center here in Wisconsin, and our medical director would tell me, she said, Dan, there's no way this is true because there's a Planned Parenthood in a community near us that provides these chemical abortions. And we're having women come in all the time with these serious adverse medical effects. So when this study came out, what it did is it took healthcare insurance data, and it was de-identified, so they don't know who the women are, but it found that over 870,000 women that have received the chemical abortion pill, that of those, 11% of them ended up going to the hospital, to the emergency room for issues like sepsis, hemorrhaging, these very serious adverse effects. And so the question really comes in is, why would the FDA come in and say, oh, you only have 0.5% chance of having an issue? So women are taking it thinking, oh, this is fine, this is safe. But in actuality, it was 22 times worse than what they were advertising. And all these women are having these issues. And one of the things we talked about earlier with campaigning is we see in campaigns, one of the big arguments was, oh, look, pro-life laws kill women. Well, no, a lot of times it's the chemical abortion. It's these chemical abortions that are happening that are actually causing women to have sepsis, hemorrhaging, those sort of things. And it's when they don't release to their doctor, they don't tell their doctor what they actually took. That's what causes the medical issues. And it's unfortunate. It's sad. But really, if these women were not getting these abortions, we wouldn't have these medical issues they have.
You mentioned, I think before we started the podcast today, about that situation with the woman in Georgia who the media played on the lie that pro-life laws killed her or something. Can you explain slowly and so people can understand really what happened? Because I remember that. Yeah. So go ahead.
Yeah. And I forget the exact publication, but there was a publication that won like a Pulitzer Prize. They won an award for journalism for this. But basically what they summarized and what they found was that because this woman, or at least what they argued is this woman was killed because a pro-life law didn't allow for abortions. And she had this unfortunate pregnancy issue where she died because the doctor wouldn't take care of her. Well, what actually came out later on was the true story is she went to another state to get a chemical abortion. When she had this chemical abortion, she didn't tell anyone about it. And so she ended up in the ER with sepsis, hemorrhaging, those sort of issues. And she didn't tell the doctors that she had taken the chemical abortion pill. She just told them that, oh, I'm not feeling well. And so instead of the doctors being able to actually help her deal with the hemorrhaging and sepsis or whatever she had in that specific case because of the chemical abortion, they weren't able to treat her properly and she died as a result. So it wasn't the pro-life law that killed her. It was the chemical abortion is what killed her.
That's right. And her, for whatever reason, being either embarrassed or didn't want to be honest with the doctors, that's tragic. And there's a lot of situations like that, I'm sure, that we don't hear about. But let's go to some good news here. We've got a few minutes left, Dan. The establishment of the Religious Liberty Commission. This is at the White House website, whitehouse.gov, as of this month, May 2025. By the authority vested in me as president, by the Constitution, the laws of the United States of America, it is hereby ordered. Section 1, purpose and policy. It shall be the policy of the executive branch to vigorously enforce the historic and robust protections for religious liberty enshrined in federal law. The founders envisioned a nation in which religious voices and views are integral to a vibrant public square and human flourishing. And it goes on and on. And then it kind of goes along with the Attorney General Pam Bondi launched the Eradicating Anti-Christian Bias Task Force. This was ordered by the Trump administration. So there's some good things happening. Comment on either one, Dan.
Yeah, I would say, again, this is a really good sign that during the Biden administration, we saw time and time again that they would really go after Christians. They'd go after people that were practicing their faith.
And pro-lifers.
In good conscience. They weren't doing anything that was violating the law. They just were having a different speech than what the Democrats would want them to have. And so praise God that President Trump's doing this. And I met with one of my national colleagues this week that he just had a meeting with the Religious Liberty Commission. And we're really excited to hear the work that they're doing in Washington, D.C. But we need to promote religious liberty everywhere. And we talked earlier about that state constitutional amendment. The one thing I would encourage your viewers to really look into as well is look at what your state say about religious freedom, because Wisconsin's a very unique state in that we actually go past what the First Amendment says. But our state constitution says that the state shall not do anything that makes us violate worshiping Almighty God in the way that our conscience would call us to. And so that's even further than what the First Amendment does. And so it's a great opportunity for us to know what our religious freedom rights are with our state constitution as well as our federal constitution.
There are some good things happening, but again, even though I love this, the DOJ launched the task force to eradicate anti-Christian bias. Even though there are some good things happening, we've got midterms coming up. Is it next year?
Yeah, it's already 2026.
Wow. Yeah. And so we cannot let up. In fact, I personally believe, and I think last time we had Jelaine Appling on, I think she said we've got to work even harder in these 2 years, and then we'll see what happens in the midterms. But Christians, conservatives, we've got to work much harder than even before. We can't take anything for granted, because the left has gained so much ground. They took so much ground and territory for the enemy, for evil. Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's what the left has been trying to do. And to some degree, they've been successful. So we've got a lot of ground to make up. Closing thoughts in just like 30 seconds, Dan?
Yeah, and just going off of that point that you had, is it's going to be razor-thin margins that decide the majority at our state levels and the federal levels. And so we need to make sure that every Christian gets out between now and next November. And we need to make sure Christians honor God with their vote.
Amen, brother. So, WisconsinFamilyAction.org. And we appreciate you guys. Thank you so very much. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter. We'll see you next time.